I'd like to turn to Joshua chapter 1 this morning, please. Joshua chapter 1, of course, that is the sixth book in your Bible, in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 1. Our theme this year as a church family is Dare to be different. Dare to be different, as I introduced to us last Sunday. And we want to focus this year on how to live as strangers and pilgrims on this earth. God has called us to live in this world as foreigners. Our actual home is not here, according to the Bible. It is with God in heaven. Amen. And until we arrive there, we are on a bit of a journey in a strange and sometimes hostile land. And so together, we want to take some time this year to consider what makes us unique and distinctly different as Bible believers, what makes us different from the majority of this world. What makes us maybe even different from the majority of Christendom as well. And we want to consider what God's Word teaches us about the spiritual and the moral and societal attitudes in our world today. We want to get a biblical perspective on the moral and spiritual dangers that are spreading around us like a religion, so to speak. And Lord willing, we plan to take at least one Sunday a month throughout 2023 to learn how we can dare to be different and get equipped from God's Word to live in the world that we face around us. But for this morning, though, I want to take us back over 3,400 years in history. You know, often we get the best glimpse into the future when we learn from the past. And the historic events around Israel's first conquest of Canaan, there in the book of Joshua, Romans 15 verse 4 says that they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And that is truly my prayer today, that we would learn some valuable faith lessons from the life of Joshua, and that we would really increase in hope in our faith and in our life. Joshua was a man of action. He didn't write long speeches or sought to solve all the world's problems. He wasn't a philosopher at all. His only concern was to accomplish the task that His God had set for him that day. And here in Joshua chapter 1, we see three different speakers. First, we see that the Lord speaks. Then we see that Joshua speaks. And finally, we see the people of Israel speaking and they're responding. Now, one thing that I find amazing in this chapter is that it seems they're all really listening to each other and responding accordingly. I don't know about you, but as far as my experience in communication, that's quite something. When people actually listen to each other. The key to communication is not what is being said, but understanding what is being heard so many times, isn't it? The key to communication is not what is being said, but understanding what is being heard. That's why James chapter 1 teaches us to be swift, to be quick to hear, but slow to speak. Amen? Now, who's speaking here? And we want to start off with the Lord speaking. So the title for our message this morning is When God Speaks, When God Speaks. But before we go into these verses here, let's just bow together in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, what an awesome privilege it is to open up your holy word this morning. Father, truly, I'm not worthy to bring forth your wonderful word of life today. And God, all of us were just sinners saved by grace. And Father, that's why we rejoice today. That's why we love you. We want to seek to worship you. And dear Father, we pray that as we leave here later today, that we would truly all love you more. And Lord, would follow you more in our lives. Father in heaven, we pray if there's anyone listening in today, Lord, that may not have the peace with God in the heart, that may have never received Christ as their own Savior yet, Lord, that today they would make that step of faith. And they would turn to you and receive you as Savior. Oh, Father, I ask now for your blessing upon your precious word. God, would it change our lives? Lord, would it encourage, would it challenge us? Oh, Lord, how we need your revival. Lord, how we need your help. And God, we want to bow with submissive hearts before you, and we want to ask for your help to obey your word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord speaks. We see this here beginning in Joshua chapter 1 in verse 2. Now, we've looked at many of these verses already in more detail, and so we're just going to get a little bit of an overview here today. But I want to read Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now again here in verse 1, we see that the Lord is speaking here to Joshua, the successor, the follower in leadership after Moses passed. So he says in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Now, this is truly something that's easier said than done. go over the river of Jordan wasn't just, you know, a picnic in the park kind of a deal. This wasn't a little creek that you could just jump over. Matter of fact, I believe, especially around this time of year where this was happening, where this river, after all the melting of the winter in the mountains, was flushing through the valleys and was just very, very dangerous, very fast waters. It was higher than at any other time of the year. And so you couldn't just, you know, skip over on a boat or something. Folks, the Lord gave Moses here a basically impossible command. That's what this relatively young man was facing here. First task in his leadership. And yet, he obeys. He immediately moves into action, as we'll see here in verse 10. Now, faith needs nothing more to move into action than just the voice of God, doesn't it? If we trust God by faith, all we need is the voice of God to put us into motion. God has spoken, that is enough for faith. And we move into action, we go in obedience. Why? Why can't faith do that in our lives and our hearts? And I thought about an illustration that we read about in Matthew chapter 8, verse 9. Matthew chapter 8, there in verse 9, we see here the Lord interacting with a officer there in the army. Matthew chapter 8, verse 9. And he's pleading with the Lord to heal his servant and so forth. And he says in verse 9, "For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel." This man, all he asked from the Lord to just say the word. And he believed and he trusted that that would be enough for God to accomplish his purpose. Why? Because he understood authority, being a soldier himself. He understood authority. Now, why would someone under authority, like a soldier under their officers, or like a servant to the master, like a believer to our Lord and our Savior, why would we be motivated to do what our Lord tells us to do? Because we recognize Him as our authority. Or do we? Many times I'm afraid we are still very much in charge. And we excuse, we procrastinate, we delay, we avoid, we run. How can we become more motivated, I think, when we truly understand God's authority over life and when we truly consider the fear of the Lord again? Now, that's an expression that you've hardly hear anymore, and yet it is hundreds of times all throughout the Scripture that we have a reverence, a respect for Almighty God. And when He says, jump, we guess what? We jump. Well, why? Because He's our Lord. He's our God. He's our Savior. And we're motivated by at least three different things when we obey our authority. It may be a reward. My children are highly motivated when rewards get involved. Amen. And God knows that. Folks, I think we're highly motivated by rewards. And the Lord knows that too. And I think it is good for us to maybe each and every day remind ourselves and maybe pray, Lord, help me to live this day in such a way that at the end of the day, if I would meet you face to face, I would hear, well done, the good and faithful servant. Well done, my child. May that become our daily prayer once again. May we be focused and remind ourselves of the reward that we will face for obedience. Now, we could also be motivated by punishment. You do this or else, right? And certainly there's consequences when we disobey the warnings and instructions of the Word of God. Now, when God tells us to not touch the hot stovetop and we go ahead and do it anyways, guess what? There's really only one person to blame. And it's not the Lord. Amen. God warned us, God instructed us, don't do this. Sin will hurt you. Sin will destroy you. Sin will keep you much longer than you ever wanted to stay and drag you much deeper and further than you ever intended to go. Don't do it, child. I love you. Don't do it. There's a consequence. There's a discipline. There's a correction that will come with that. And so we're motivated by reward. We're motivated by punishment when we obey authority. But we're also motivated by respect, I believe. By a love, an honor for the person that we're obeying, or at least their position, their office. You know, a few years ago when I was working in a metal shop, I had a fellow Christian as a boss. And I mean, that was the most phenomenal boss anyone could have ever asked for. He would take us to the most fanciest restaurants in the big city for Christmas. I mean, he'd stock us up with candies and goodies, you know, at the shop. We had free coffee all day long. It was phenomenal. You know, that boss really invested highly in us. And he really wanted to make sure that we spiritually prosper as well, not just in our career. And I'm very grateful for that. And guess what? We respected that guy. He wasn't perfect. Sometimes his jokes were kind of quirky. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, we just about lay down in front of a truck for the guy kind of a thing. That's how much of a loyalty, that's how much of a respect we have for him, because he would do the same for us. And so we were willing to sometimes stay 10, 12 hours in summer when things needed to get done, because we knew he'd carry us in the winter season when there was only 2 hours of work a day, but he'd pay us a full 8. And so there's different motivations that we have when we obey an authority, in particular the voice of the Lord, whether it be through a word, whether it be because of the result or consequence of a punishment or a correction. But ultimately, I believe we ought to obey the Lord out of respect, out of honoring Him, and out of loving Him. God is still speaking today. Am I listening? Am I listening? I believe just like he did back in the day with Joshua, God is still calling servants into his work. Are we obeying his call? Are we obeying his call? Joshua had been given an impossible command. Cross a river that was impassable. Conquer a country that was fortified and occupied. Well, the funny thing is, as the old saying goes, that God's condition for a miracle is not difficulty. It's impossibility. And God was about to do something that none of them could have ever expected or could have known beforehand. But the fact of the matter is, they obeyed anyways. They didn't know how it all would turn out yet. We have the privilege of reading the whole story today. But for them, that was still future. But just like Simon Peter of old there in Luke chapter 5, Joshua went ahead and said, Lord, at thy word, so to speak, he went out and obeyed God's command. God, all I have is your word, but guess what? That's enough. I'm going to go and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And we don't need to understand everything ahead. We don't need to have it all figured out and know how the end result will turn out. You see, that's the beautiful thing about obeying the Lord. The results are up to him. The results are up to him. Daily faith means to trust in God, obey his command, and leave the results up to God. Someone said, sometimes you don't need to see the whole staircase in order to take the first step. And how true that is. God had promised to give Joshua and his nation the victory. He will give them the land that he had promised to his forefathers. As we go there in Joshua chapter 1, I want to read verse 4. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Now, we could all draw that out on the map and realize that this is a huge country that they had been promised. And folks, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we can know assuredly that one day, and maybe rather sooner than later, when Christ will return and rule Israel and rule the whole world as his kingdom, this indeed will be ruled by the nation of Israel. How can you say that? Because God's promised it. And my God has yet to break a single one of his promises. And God's word can and needs to be trusted even today, folks. It can be relied upon and it can be acted upon, and we need to if we want to experience the victory and the blessing and the success, just like Joshua did. Joshua didn't have the whole end of the story figured out, but that was okay. All I needed to know is, God, what is my task for today? And the rest I can just trust you with, God. God's word is all we need in order to trust him and to move into action and obedience. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I can also choose to do my own thing. And I could choose to have those inevitable results of doing my own thing. Well, what are those? 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, God says, the world passes away, and the lust thereof, it'll disappear, it'll be for nothing. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That is really worthwhile. That is really going to last for all eternity. And folks, it is the word of God that motivates us into action and into obedience. Where's our faith? Into the Bible. Amen? Well, any Christian I ever met will say, oh, I believe the Bible. All of it. Right? Well, let's live it. 2023 is a good year to start. Amen? Someone wrote, "Last eve I passed beside a blacksmith door and heard the anvil ring, the vesper chime. And when looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. 'How many anvils have you had,' said I, 'to wear and batter these hammers so?' 'Just one,' said he. Then with a twinkling eye, 'The anvil wears the hammers out, you know.'" And so I thought the anvil of God's word for ages skeptics' blows have beat upon. Yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed, the hammers gone. Amen. As Spurgeon said, the word of God is the anvil upon which the opinions of men are smashed. And you know what? They've come and gone, and every critic of God and his word one day changed their mind. Did you know that? For sure, the day they pass into the next life. But you and I can already act upon God's word by faith. Now, you say, I'd love to. I'm just hesitant. I'm afraid. Well, maybe Joshua had a lot of things to be concerned about too, because the Lord sure seemed to want to encourage him. Notice then verse 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Why do we have all reason to not be afraid, to not be dismayed, to not give up, to not give in? Because we have God's presence with us. Now that will never change, no matter what this world does. If you're saved this morning, God is with you for the rest of all eternity. Folks, the courage to fight the battle comes from the assurance of God's presence. Now, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving forward even in the face of fear. Courage is overcoming fear through faith in God's word. See, where there's God's presence, there's God's power, isn't it? Where there's God's presence, there is God's power. That is why God's presence is absolutely necessary for victory. And that is why God reminds Joshua again and again and again, "Hey, I'm with you. I'll be with you. I've promised you. Be strong. We have a good courage. Don't be dismayed. I'm with you. I'm with you." Now, how do you get into the presence of God? There'd be much we could say about that, but I just quickly want to give us three or four things this morning. The first thing, of course, is you need to be saved. You need to be saved. What does that mean? You need to trust Christ as your Savior from your sins. Sin is our disobedience against God's word. Sin is our guilt before our holy, almighty Creator. Now, thankfully, the Lord loves us. And just like in the day of Joshua, in an impossible situation, he's made the impossible possible. And he's made a way of escape, a way of salvation. And he says that Jesus Christ is the truth, the life, and the way in John chapter 14. And all that trusts in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as payment on behalf of their own personal guilt before God, Jesus says, are saved. What does it mean? It means delivered. They go free. They are forgiven and reconciled to God. Praise the Lord for that. Dear Christian, if you're saved here this morning, those truths ought to always excite us. They ought to always remind us of that precious time when you trusted the Lord. Have you? There's no more important decision that you could make today then trust Jesus and ask him to save you this morning. Now, further, we need to be what the Bible calls sanctified. That means that we have to realize that sin chokes my faith in God, so to speak. It breaks the harmony in my relationship with the Lord. And so what can I do? I need to confess my sins to the Lord. I will be forgiven. I will be cleansed. And I can dedicate my life to live for God's glory. And then further, I need to meditate. Now, this is not what we may commonly maybe think about that these days. Look there in verse 8, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Oh, I want to have good success. Well, here's the key. According to the all-knowing, eternal Word of God. Meditate. Stay in the Word of God. Think upon it. One way that we can practically do that, that's been very helpful for me personally, is, you know, sometimes you're at a chapter or two or three, whatever you can do that day, and you go ahead, or whatever is on your schedule. Amen. I encourage you to pick that up. And then I ask the Lord, as I pray over this passage of Scripture, Lord, would you give me at least one verse, or even it's just a phrase, but preferably one verse, Lord, that I can take along with me throughout the rest of my day. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can read a whole page and I turn around and I have no idea what I just read. Ever happened to you? And so that's why I, on purpose, go back and say, Lord, what is this one particular thing you want to point out to me this morning that I want to take along throughout the rest of the day? Amen? And so whether I write that down somewhere and maybe keep that in my pocket, or try to memorize this verse, or I just look at it again, you know, at my lunch break, or, you know, after supper or whatever it may be, but we want to stay thinking and meditating upon the Word of God and actually get its benefits and blessings out of it. We need to read and think on God's Word consistently, not just on Sundays. And then we need to move forward, just like Joshua did. And it's only then that we'll be equipped to serve the Lord. We're only ready to serve after we've been in God's presence. That's why it's so important that we encourage one another in our, what we call our devotions. Amen. When you spend time with God through prayer and Bible study, and that will motivate us to want to serve Him and to do what He has commanded us to do. So we see how God speaks. Now, secondly, let's see Joshua's response to God's command. Now, Joshua speaks. Joshua had to make some pretty tough, some enormous decisions that would affect a lot of people's lives. Where do I turn for wisdom, for advice, for instruction when I stand before some big decisions or even smaller decisions? Joshua turned to the Lord. Let's look here at his response in verse 10. Excuse me. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So Jordan was a major river there in the land of Canaan. Victuals refers to food, you know, basically your lunch sandwiches along for the trip. And the host is referring to the mass of the nation there, in particular the soldiers, of course. And he's basically organizing and recruiting the whole nation there to go onto the special journey to enter the promised land and to start conquering it. Now, notice what he says in verse 13. We have to jump over a few things here for the sake of time. And, of course, we've mentioned some of them already in past messages. Verse 13, he says, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. How does Joshua motivate the people to go ahead and move forward? He refers them to the Word of God. He motivates and encourages them with the promises of God. The greatness of Joshua's success, I believe, was not due to how great Joshua was. Just as success was due to the greatness of the God who had sent him as a messenger, as a tool for the glory of God. And folks, that's what we have to realize, that our service for the Lord, we're basically just a tool in Almighty God's hands. We're like this big pointing sign to point others to Jesus. Amen? That's really all that our role is. And that is where we fulfill our calling in being a good and faithful servant that will be rewarded. Now, what glory does a hammer or a saw have? What did they accomplish? Well, really nothing. When they just lay in my shop, they're just dusting and collecting spiders, nothing more. But when the tool is willing and ready to be used in a skillful hand, that's when things happen. That's when life gets changed. That's when an impact for eternity is made. And so we need to realize that we're just tools in God's mighty hands. But we have to be willing to yield ourselves to be used. A tool that is striking, a tool where the battery just will not work, that just constantly seizes up, where, you know, the head will fall off and the handle will break. That's probably not the tool that I'm going to use, right? Are you and I a tool that is willing to be used for the glory of God? Joshua was willing to just be the messenger. And he motivates the people by referring them to God's promise. Now let's look at Israel's response lastly this morning. Number 3, Israel's response. Then verse 16. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." I love how in the end there, they're trying to encourage their leader a little bit. Folks, leaders need encouragement too. Amen? Can I just be honest with you? Leaders need encouragement too. And I think it's so lovely how they encouraged Joshua there. And notice, they're expressing themselves to be quite loyal to his leadership there in regards to the Word of God. The new generation that Joshua was leading had learned the lesson that their fathers had failed. What lesson was that? Well, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3 in our New Testament to see that answer. In Hebrews chapter 3, starting there in verse 7. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Of course, we know that the Israelites had already been at this similar place before. God had already wanted to send them into the promised land. What happened? They refused. "No, I'm not going to be your tool, God. No, I'm not going to trust your word, God. I got my own ideas. I got my own plans. God, I can't see the end of this story, so I don't know about this. Nah, thanks." Well, it didn't work out well for them, did it? First, they tried it on their own. They got slaughtered, beaten badly in battle. And then they had to wander around without GPS in the desert for 40 years. You know, Moses wasn't bad at reading maps at all. He was just obeying the word of God. And that whole generation had to pass away. And then their children would grow up and learn to follow Joshua's leadership. Notice Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice..." Are we willing to hear the voice of the Lord to direct our lives? Are we drowning it out? Are we willing to stop and listen? "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in a provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." That's referring to the testing there of their faith and obedience. And is, of course, quoting there Psalm 98, verse 8. Notice verse 9. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Didn't work out well for them. Now drop down to verse 12. Take heed, brethren. So he's applying that Old Testament lesson now to us today. Take heed, brethren. Be careful. Watch out. It's important. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, folks, we could look into the whole context there and clearly study out how this is not talking about losing somebody's salvation, all right? But we don't have the time to do all that today. Suffice it to say, God is warning us here, hey, if we keep ignoring and disobeying God's voice, guess what? At some point, God will stop directing us and he'll leave us to our disobedience and not believing, not trusting his word. But verse 13, look at the warning there. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. You know, some people think that, you know, going to church 3-4 times a week is a bit much. That's just extreme. Well, the New Testament encourages us to exhort, to encourage and warn one another daily. So we're really just at the minimum edge of things. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, there's the key. There's the key. The deceitfulness of sin that hardens our heart, that chokes out and crowds out the precious seeds of the Word of God. And folks, there is a great danger when we toy around with fire long enough that we will get burned so much we become callous to its flame. And a Father in heaven this morning saying, I love you. Love you, child. Don't do it. Stay away from those things that I clearly warn you about in my great love. Stay away from self-deceit and lies. Stay away from fornication and anger and bitterness and selfishness. Stay away from setting up idols in our hearts, whether that be people, whether that be material possessions or achievements, whatever it may be. Be warned, lest we be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, my flesh will tell me it's okay, it doesn't matter, I'll be all right. But that's a lie. That's a lie. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. It's the deceitfulness, the lie of sin. I believe Joshua was able to influence the people as their leader to follow God's word because he had the commandment of God with him, he had the promise of God with him, and he had the presence of God with him. Oh, how important our personal devotional walk is, folks. We can complain about politics and we can groan about how people are so sin-hardened and God-hating in our day and age until we get blue in the face. But the only thing that will really start to change any of that is if I myself get a passionate love relationship with my Savior. If you want to influence lives for the glory of God, we need to walk with God personally. If I want to learn how to have victory and freedom over the sins of the flesh and the lies of the world and the devil in my life, we need to get to know our Savior better. There is no shortcut to prayer, Bible study, and Bible meditation to grow spiritually. There's no shortcut. I don't know what your impossible, your impregnable Jordan River is in your life that you're facing today. I don't know all that. But the Holy Spirit surely does. And he wants to use the example of Joshua this morning to challenge and encourage us. It may be in your personal life, maybe in your church family, There's so many impossible odds that we face as we pray for the Lord to bless us with the building. We pray for souls in our city to be saved. We pray for one another. We pray for our health. We pray for our all the different needs. There's so many impossibilities seemingly that we face when we look at our country and its very dangerous direction that it's headed. We face impossible tasks almost every day. And I'm just wondering, I've just been asking myself, and I want to ask all of us this morning, how far would I be willing to go to obey the voice of the Lord? When God speaks, would I be willing to listen? Would I be willing to fast and pray and obey and move forward by faith, even if it makes me look silly and crazy, even if everybody mocks me, even if it makes no sense, even if the water is leaping on my feet and I can't see how this river could ever part? Would I be willing to move forward into that Jordan River? That impossibility in our life upon thy word, as Peter said. God speaks, and you know, that's enough. I'm going to go. I'm going to obey, and I'm going to move forward. I'm going to get back into the battle against my flesh and against the sin in my life, because I have the promise of God, just as Joshua of old did, for the victory. I'm going to go back. And you know what? I failed here before, just like the fathers of this generation did in Joshua's day. But you know what? Hey, let's just do this again. Let's do it right this time. Let's learn the lessons. You know what? There's this deceitfulness of sin. We're going to stop listening to that. And we're going to now meditate upon the Word of God daily instead. Because I want to prosper for the Lord. I want to have good success. And I want to do whatever it takes, Lord, to move forward. Because as David had old said, is it out of cause? Isn't there a need for the glory of God to be proclaimed in our lives, in our families, in our churches? Isn't there souls to be saved? Isn't there a light that needs to shine into this world before today, before that day of salvation is over? If not now, then when? If not us, then who? If not here, then where are we going to start to obey the voice of the Lord, folks? It's time to get dead serious, to get utterly determined, to move forward into those waves of Jordan, no matter what comes, because I trust my Savior. And may God give us a heart of brokenness and of love and of passion for the Lord. And we say, God, no matter how high the waves may come, I'm going to move forward because I trust your word. And as God was with Moses, as God was with Joshua, so he will be with us. And I'm just going to trust that. No matter what this world thinks, the ways of this world will pass away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen? How about it, dear Christians? As you know, we like to close every service in prayer, and so I'd like to invite you to stand, please. Bow our heads, close our eyes in prayer this morning. Let's all stand if we can, please. And bow our heads in prayer. You can pray right there standing. You can sit down or kneel at your seat. Maybe God wants you to come forward to this old-fashioned altar this morning and make a commitment to move forward to the Lord, no matter how deep or scary the Jordan River ahead may look. The Word of God has stood the test of time and smashed all opinions and wisdom of men. Why would we not want to trust it? And as Angie plays this morning, our invitation hymn, this is a holy time today while you hear his voice. Harden.